In many parts of the country, election season is well underway. Candidates are raising money, hosting pancake breakfasts, and holding town meetings. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is presenting a two-play cycle called Continental Divide. It portrays a governor's race from the separate perspectives of the Republican and Democratic parties. D'May Roberts reports from Ashland, Oregon.
At the heart of Mothers Against and Daughters of the Revolution, the two plays of Continental Divide, lies a fictional ballot initiative.
Yes, I'm one of the baby boomers who grew up in the 60s.
You can vote not just for your party, but for your country, to declare their allegiance to democracy.
I really felt now I'm an American.
Vote yes on 92.
That ideal is called America.
Under Proposition 92, citizens would have to swear patriotic loyalty before being allowed to vote. Neither gubernatorial candidate in the two plays takes a stand on the loyalty oath. They believe it goes against the Constitution, but they don't want to look unpatriotic. Playwright David Edgar says he based this proposition on already existing oaths.
You know, there are already a number of states which have passed ordinances and laws about the pledge and about the teaching of American values in schools. You know, as I say, there are such pledges that people are required to make. There's certainly a long history of loyalty oaths in the United States. I don't think it's far-fetched at all.
Edgars is the author of the Tony Award-winning Nicholas Nickleby. As a Brit who's been in and out of the States for 30-plus years, he says he brings an outsider's view on what he sees as the growing divide facing America now, the divide between political ideals and marketing the candidate.
There's one statement we're not making, which is vote Democrat or vote Republican. I mean, it's not a partisan play. I think the statement we are making is individual actions in politics can make a difference. And I think particularly American elections have become so much now about the other side of the hill and, a lot of very expensive and talented consultants second-guessing what another lot of expensive, talented consultants, most of whom they know, of course, are calculating on the other side. So it's one of those sort of, I think that you think that, I think that you think that I'm going to do this.
The two plays differ in style and perspective. In Mothers Against, the political arguments are contained within a family drama. The Republican candidate comes from a long line of politicians, but unlike his father, he's often more liberal in his views than his campaign consultants would like him to be. Consultants like this pundit, played by Susanna Shulman, who in this speech gets swept away by her own vision of how to repackage the party's mission.
It's the left tells other people what's permissible to say. It's the left which guilt trips and gut checks. It's the left who want to force you to salute and sign oaths and make declarations because what they say ain't true. Our vision is best because it promises you can transform yourself and it delivers. Its wish is your command. All you have to do is dare. And yes, the liberals stole that vision off of us and it's time we took it back.
You know, the best playwrights have this appetite for understanding the world in all of its complexity, and they bring the full measure of their being to the work to express the contradictions in as exciting and as dynamic and as complicated a way as possible.
Director Tony Taccone has worked on David Edgar's complex plays for a couple decades now.
All right. Can I gather the folks here for a second?
Taccone, the artistic director of Berkeley Repertory Theater, is directing both plays at OSF and then restaging them in Berkeley in the fall. He says while both plays are about the same gubernatorial race, Daughters of the Revolution is from the voter perspective and shifts back and forth in time from now to the 60s.
It's no accident that these plays are about the 60s and are being written now. I think we have a perspective on the 60s that has more room in it to breathe. The fact that you had a community of people that came together without fear to address major political issues that made a difference in the decisions of the leaders of the world is often underplayed.
Daughters of the Revolution looks at the Democratic race through the eyes of a community college professor, played by Mark Murphy, who's on a quest for an informant who betrayed him in the 60s. The journey leads him to remember an old friend who inspired his activism.
I was in jail with a group of kids who'd been busted for their very first campus occupation. And they were herded into vans and taken off to jail by the goon squad, and they were terrified. And he had us telling each other who we were and how we'd gotten into this. And he talked about the Selma March and Greensboro and stopping troop trains and how it would be after the revolution if we only dared to live it now. And we started singing Beatles songs or We Shall Overcome, stuff everybody knew. And before my eyes, that group of scared and isolated children turned into a fist. And I thought, hey, I've seen water turn to wine.
Eventually, the character finds incriminating evidence that he uses to blackmail the Democratic candidate into taking a stand on Proposition 92. Director Taccone thinks the plays reveal how the idealism of the 60s has been compromised as baby boomers age.
As one gets older, the challenges and the compromises that one faces with living one's life take more and more of a priority. I need to focus on my car payments and my mother's sick and my teeth need fixing. And so one confronts one's personal needs with issues of activism and how one can make the world a better place to live.
The play's themes of timid politicians, lost ideals, marketing machines, and grassroots activism are not the usual topics for repertory theater companies. But as artistic director Libby Apple says, there was no turning back, even though staging the two plays in the current political climate is a financially risky endeavor for OSF and Berkeley Rep.
People really don't know what's going to happen next. And it's ironic that in that climate, we are producing two extremely political plays, because when you recognize yourself, you can get angry and you could say, I'm not interested in this.
If that happens, Continental Divide becomes something other than two plays on American politics. It becomes a measure of America's interest in critiquing its government. The plays of the Continental Divide run until July at OSF and then opens at Berkeley Rep just after the November election. For NPR News, I'm Dee Mae Roberts in Ashland, Oregon.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.